Right, so last week we looked at, we were talking about the fact that the day of Pentecost has fully come. I like that. I like the way the King James says, has fully come. He didn't just partially come. He didn't save the best bits for later. Although there's great glory coming upon the earth, on the church, the believing church. Let's just give time for the offering to be taken up, and then we'll get into it quickly. Father, we just thank you today for this offering and the tithes that we're dedicating to you today. And we thank you for the increase. Thank you for the windows of heaven being opened, the devourer being rebuked. Thank you for pouring out blessing, more than we can contain. Lord, I thank you for more than enough to meet need and help to meet the needs of others. We just thank you for your great kindness that is toward us all the time. Thank you that your mercies are new every morning. Your loving kindness is unfailing. There might be difficulties up to the third and fourth generation when people open their generations to sin or catastrophe or whatever the case may be, but you said you show love to 1,000. And so we just thank you for 2,000. So thank you, Lord, we're part of the thousands, and we honor you and we bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. That's good. Let's go to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1. I'm reading from the ESV again. Pentecost has fully come. So, let's just talk a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit, because we're a house of the gifts of the Spirit. Everybody's in a different place on this. Everybody's on a different journey, because it's personal. It's your own journey with the Lord, your own encounters with the Lord. But yet all of us are encouraged to earnestly pursue the gifts. Covet to prophesy. We saw in Joel 2, the verses we looked at last week, that the results of the outpouring of the Spirit that were mentioned were to do with dreams, visions, prophesying. They were the three active gifts that are mentioned that are mentioned there. And if that's one of the great outcomes of the outpouring of the Spirit, then obviously the way God speaks in dreams and visions and prophecy into the earth is very important. And yet too many have sort of pushed that to the side, or said, I don't understand it, or maybe that finished with the last apostles or part of the early church. But that's all mistake. That's all actually. Some of it is just plain laziness. Because to go after the gifts of the Spirit actually requires something of you. It requires an earnestness. It requires a seeking. It requires some study. It requires some asking. It requires some faith. It requires some intimacy with the Lord. It requires an attitude that you actually want to be a servant of the Lord and you want to see people helped through the power of God. So going after the gifts of the Spirit actually requires something of us, generally speaking. So if we tend to be lazy and just our life is full of this over here, maybe we don't actually pursue the gifts of the Spirit because there's just so much else going on. But here's what I'm saying, that we're actually urged by the apostle, urged to go after the best gifts. So that doesn't mean that all of that will be operational on a Sunday morning meeting, Sunday night, or whatever. The operation of the gifts of the Spirit is so widespread, and the possibilities are just wherever humans connect with each other. And so I just want to read this, and then I'm going to interview some people briefly. I'm going to introduce you briefly, Janet. Now, I'm just picking a few names that I know operate differently. Janet Noah, Murray Groves, Craig, would you be willing just to give a wee short interview? These are the questions I'm going to ask. These are the questions I'm going to ask you, so prepare your answers. How do you connect with the Holy Spirit in terms of Him speaking to you? That's one question I'm going to ask you. How do you lean in, if you like? I don't want to put language in your mouth. How do you know? How have you come to know that it's It's either the Holy Spirit or a good chance it is. Colleen, I'm going to ask ask you as well, because you operate a bit differently again. And I've seen you in situations where you've operated very good, very well in certain things. But I know there's a diversity of operations here. Now, this is not a who's who in the operation of the gifts zoo. This is just people I've observed that operate differently. I can't interview everybody. We'll be here till next Sunday, and you've all got to work this week. So here, I'm just picking a few. Just picking a few. And it's not my favourites. Oh, you can think your favourites. It's all right. You can think your favourites. But it's not my favourites. It's just people I've observed. Okay, let's just to clarify that, just in case your name wasn't picked out. And some of you are saying, man, I'm so glad he didn't pick me. And so just a few. Okay, so now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Okay? More of the church needs to be properly, globally, needs to be properly informed. They haven't been informed. They should be. And so now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when we were pagans, we were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Verse 3, therefore I want you to understand that no one speaking by the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. Now there's a context for that, and they say that the context of that was the persecution, that they were told you need to denounce Jesus, you need to align with Caesar or the emperor as God, so on and so forth. And the people who were filled with the Holy Ghost, they are the ones who were enabled to say Jesus is Lord in that context. That's apparently some of the meaning behind it. So if you're by the Holy Ghost, you can't say Jesus is accursed. You can't say that by the Holy Ghost. That's another spirit. Okay? And nobody can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Ghost. So verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. Verse 7, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Very good point to note is it's for the common good. It's not just for my good. It's for the common good. For to one is given the spirit of utterance of wisdom, or the word of wisdom, New King James would say. To one is given the spirit of utterance of wisdom, the word of wisdom. A little bit underrated, I might add. I believe that's going to be rated more highly in the days ahead because of the sheer lack of wisdom in the world. Because of the spirit of stupid that's on too many. And I'm not the first to say that. Verse 8, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge, or the word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith, or the gift of faith by the same Spirit. I'm losing my place in here. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. By the same Spirit, by the one Spirit. There's only one Spirit doing all this. There are other spirits doing stuff, but the stuff that's genuine kingdom of God, it's only one Spirit that does it. Okay? Not clairvoyance, it's not divination, it's not channeling, it's not none of that stuff. That's all of the demonic realm. That's all illegal for a child of God to pursue. We pursue the Holy Ghost. We pursue intimacy with the Lord. We pursue growing in knowledge of the Lord, and we're filled with the Spirit, so we're relying on Him and Him alone. Him and Him alone. We don't mix. We don't mix it with stuff from here and stuff from there. Some of the Africans we relate to in Zimbabwe had a big problem at one stage because people were mixing some of their old pagan stuff with the things of the Lord, and so they were doing things with water and that sort of thinking that because there's a whole water spirit thing in Africa, in fact, the water spirit thing globally, but there's this whole water spirit thing that they can get into, And some of them can get a lot of power through this water spirit avenue. But the problem is it's not the Holy Ghost, and it never bears kingdom fruit. It always ends up in bondage and demonization. Or they're using salt, something they do with salt, and that they move from reliance on the name of Jesus and the power of the Holy Ghost to a mixture of these pagan practices and sort of mixed it in with, it's called syncretism, sort of mixed it in with the Lord, and it was creating major problems. Apostle Colin, back then bishop, now bishop, he had to really speak into this, and he had to really deal with it in the churches. There was about 600-700 churches at that point. I think there's close to 1,000 now. Really had to deal with it because it was corrupting people. So this is the mixture that can go on in various places. It's happening in New Zealand right now. There's mixture going on. We've got to repent of that mixture and come back to total reliance on the Holy Ghost and the name of the Lord alone. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, word of knowledge, so on and so forth, gift of faith, to another gifts of healing, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits, or the discerning of spirits, which spirit is involved in this or whatever, which spirit the person is coming from, which spirit the person is actually moving and motivating and empowering the person. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. I'm going to jump around a bit. 1 Corinthians 12:27. Now, in this, you also have Paul, in the whole letter of Corinthians here, around Corinthians 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, all that, there's quite a lot of, how I perceive it, is Paul having to speak into what we'd call cultural issues. You had in Corinth, the church in Corinth, from my research, around about three major different culture groups. Quite hot in here, isn't it? Three different major cultural groups. Now, these cultural groups, some of them had different attitudes to women's hair in public. And I'm patting my head because there's not a lot there. You know, my Grow Plus hasn't worked. didn't work for you either, Eric. So the whole thing with the woman's hair and coverings and being covered when they pray and so on and so forth, and the men's hair and the woman's hair. I'm going to get pretty blunt now. For some of those cultures, for a woman's hair to be uncovered in public, let alone in church gathering, it was no different to a pubic hair being exposed. That was how it was viewed in terms of its erotic nature. Get that? That might shock some of you, but that's how it was. The woman's hair that wasn't covered, when it was in a public setting or in a church setting, was no different morally to them to, in our setting now, a person's genital hair being exposed or open to public view. Now, if somebody got up here with their genital hair in public view, there would be a rush with people with jackets and bits of cloth, as long as you don't rip them off yourself, just jackets and bits of cloth, and you'd be covering that person, because in our context, that is totally out of order. That is, man, that just doesn't happen. Hear what I'm saying? So we're reading this sometimes with our cultural perspective. I mean, so what's the big deal with hair coverings and all that sort of thing? In those societies, in some of those cultures, it was big deal. So We don't have the issue of our hair covering now. People dye it, cut it, trim it, shave it, do all sorts of funny things with it, put it up on end, put it sideways, Pippi Longstocking, all sorts of different things people do with hair, and we think very little of it. But in those cultures, a huge amount were thought of it. So when you read that whole area, you've got to take into mind some of the cultural things that we don't really even know how to relate to now. When I was a young guy going to church, the ladies were still debating whether they should wear hats or not. In my Presbyterian Methodist young days, I remember Mum always liked to wear a hat to church. But then there was a debate whether women should wear head coverings or not wear head covering, and it was a big deal. Well, it doesn't need to be a big deal. If you wear a hat, chances are the person behind you can't see anyway. Can't see round your hat. The big feathers. So we've got to keep the main things the main things. So 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 31, it says that, now 1 Corinthians 12, 27 to 31, now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it, and God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, then helping or gifts of acts of service or helping or ministry of helps, administrating, and various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? No. Question mark. Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all work? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But then it says this, but earnestly desire the higher gifts. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? I think King James or New King James may say the best gifts. But earnestly desire. But so there's that earnestly desire deal. So I broadened it to from just the what we normally think the nine gifts of the Spirit. It's broadened out also to the issues of the apostolic, the prophet or apostles, prophets, teachers, works of miracles, administrating, helping with data projection. We'd love some people to really earnestly desire that. Because it's actually a gift to the church. And it's a gift of helps. And the Holy Spirit will empower you to do it. And then he says this, and I will show you still a more excellent way. And then we go into the whole 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through to 13, where it's all talking about now, this is what love looks like. This is how love behaves. Love, it's often read at weddings, which is really nice and okay. But it's actually in the context of the ministering of the gifts and ministering in the Lord, ministering to the people of God. It's in the context of that. So in the context of that, let's just think about this. Love is patient. Love is kind. We treat people kindly. We don't demand they do this and demand they do that when it comes to ministering to them in some dimension of the gifts of the Spirit. We don't add to their abuse by demanding they do this or that. That was part of their injury. So we're gentle, we're kind with people, we're patient with people. Love does not envy or boast, doesn't envy other people's dimensions, it doesn't boast about its own. It is not arrogant or rude. I had to shut down somebody once who was arrogant and rude when it was ministering to our people in the prophetic. I had to shut them down. It does not insist on its own way. It seeks permission to minister. Is it okay if I pray for you? Is it okay if we do this? Is it okay you're working with them? It doesn't demand its own way. This is just only some of the application. It is not irritable or resentful. It's not irritable with people, not resentful with people. And this is in the context of the ministering the gifts. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, doesn't celebrate sin, doesn't celebrate injustice, but it rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, it's able to stay up under all things, it's able to believe all things, in other words, the things that are to be believed. It hopes all things, in other words, it lives in a spirit of hope for itself, hope for them, hope for people. It doesn't ever write people off as being absolutely hopeless. It hopes all things. It endures all things. It endures persecution. It endures rejection. It endures misunderstanding. It endures being sidelined. It endures being looked over, because it's love. And then he says this in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 1 to 2. Pursue love. In other words, pursue the engagement in the Holy Ghost by which love is shed abroad in us. That's a passage from last week I never got to. Pursue love. Pursue the love of God. Pursue the encounters with the love of God by which we're transformed. And pursue the release of love through our lives. Pursue loving people. And earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. There he says it again, especially that you may prophesy. Because he now goes into the context of tongues and interpretation of tongues and how the Corinthian church was needed some tidying up. They'd gotten into tongues and being enamored with angels and the tongues of angels, and there was apparently competition between them and a bit of one-upmanship and arrogance and boasting. And so all of these things Paul is addressing, saying this is what love looks like, this is how love operates. You can pretty well guarantee that in some arena, some of those people in that church at the time were doing exactly what they weren't meant to do. So apparently that's the historical context. So he's speaking to them and bringing order and bringing a shaping so that they would actually start to build a healthy culture regarding the gifts of the Spirit, not an unhealthy one. But nevertheless, he wanted a culture in that church where the operation of the gifts of the Spirit and the various other dimensions of gifting would be normal and operational and beneficial to the whole group. That's the bottom line expectation. Some have taken some of these things and taken them out of context and twisted them and almost acted in a way that where it basically discredits or shuts down the gifts of the Spirit. That is totally not what Paul was doing. He was endeavoring to bring into health, bring into balance, and bring into healthy operation the gifts of the Spirit of God, because the gifts of the Spirit are the toolbox of the kingdom. I'm a builder by background. I joined in my trade, then went into building, various things like that. I now have another good belt with pockets in for my nails and screws and hammer and pencil and various things I can put on there. And I was finding the whole thing a bit heavy around my waist. Then Glenn came out and helped me for a couple of days, and I was so impressed with his bag because he had shoulder straps like garters that held the thing up. So I've got to get me those. So I managed to get some the other day, and I put them on, fitted them, and oh, what a relief. I've got all this stuff around me now, but it's all hung on my shoulders, not around my waist, trying to pull my trousers down. You know, because you've got to do the belt up really tight to keep everything up, because a number of 1 or 2 kilograms in it, so to speak. But here's the deal. I get around with that belt on when I'm trying to do building work, because that's where my tools are. So I'm not running backwards and forwards trying to find everything all the time. Where did I put my hammer? Where did I put my pencil? No wonder they paint them red. Because part of my tool belt for what I do in that setting. In the Holy Ghost, in the kingdom of God, we've also got a spiritual toolkit. And we're to earnestly desire to have that toolkit equipped, understood, and functioning in the Holy Ghost, so that we can then do the things that we're called to do as servants of the Lord, sons and daughters of God, imaging Him into the world and bringing the beauty and benefit of the kingdom into situations that we come across in life where people are open to help. That's the gifts of the Spirit. And the Holy Ghost has them all. And He operates them all. And He's looking for hungry, willing, yielded people so He can bring His beauty and quality and power through us to manifest it into a world where there's other humans, where they can get the benefit of what he's got to bring. And so I want to just interview a few people. That won't take too long. Mark, just all of you come up. All of those names I mentioned, just come on up, if you would. And I just want to take a few moments to demystify. Because what you'll do, you'll hear bits and pieces from all of these people that are all slightly different. Because each one of them I know operates a bit differently and operates perhaps in different strengths and gifting. And I've seen them operate in different settings where the way they operate and move is different. And the way, you know, the way they hear the Lord is different. So that's why I chose a variety. You know, I know I could choose probably 50 to 60% of this church and interview you and ask you similar questions. You'd have something to say. Okay, so microphone, you've got it. Okay, the question I'm going to ask you is, what is at least say one way that you just connect with the Lord to position yourself to hear Him? What do you do?
For me, one of the most common ways is that I quieten myself, so I make sure there's not other distractions. I'd really try to focus on Him. In my mind's eye, I imagine Jesus standing right in front of me. And then I feel like in my mind's eye, I'm looking at Him and I'm going, what do you want to say to me? What do I need to know? And then I get impressions come into my mind like He's talking to me. And over time, I've found that those impressions are accurate and are true if I act on them.
Okay. You made a key statement, over time. Mm-hmm. So how was it in the early days of that?
In the early days, I used to wonder if it was just all my imagination. And then I heard a prophetic teacher one time, and he made this statement. He said, 99% of the time, it'll be the Lord. But sometimes it might be you. And I thought, wow, I've really got to act on this more. I've really got to step out in faith more. And so I began to be brave, really.
So tell me very briefly about that. Those first things of stepping out in faith. What does that mean to you? What was that like for you?
It was terrifying. Because nobody wants to look a nana, you know. No one wants to look a fool. And you're trying to face, I mean, so many of us were probably raised with parents who, you know, they were being kind, but they said things like, oh, it's just your imagination, or you've got a vivid imagination, you know. And so you learn to shut it down and not see what you're seeing.
Very, very, very good point. So there was a faith growth for you,
yep,
in that, and also a learning that when you saw things and it was true and it was correct, mm-hmm, what did that, seeing that they were correct or people said that that's true, what did that do for you?
It encouraged me that I was actually hearing from the Lord.
Yep. Okay. Mm. Very good. Thank you. Thank you very much. Nawa, that's very good. Thank you. You can sit down, Dale. Notice you were doing it anyway.
Yes. Yeah.
But it helps me if I have a sense that I'm giving you permission. You know. Yeah, it's my insecurities, you know. There we are. Nawa. Same question. How do you position yourself with the Lord, or get into a place where you're more likely to hear Him or sense things?
A little bit like what Janet was saying for the first question, being still and that. But I find it can happen for me in several different ways. Mm-hmm. There can be a pull to come into His presence. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that, it's like an inner pull on the inside.
Right.
Because it may not necessarily even be in church.
No, that's right.
I can be out in the garden, and He speaks to me a lot when I'm in the garden, because that's my place. It's sort of like my quiet place. And I can feel a pull, mm-hmm, to come aside with Him. And then He begins to speak to me.
Right.
And it can be through that inner voice. I can have an inner voice that can speak to me,
mm-hmm,
like what took place this morning. Mm-hmm. There was just this inner voice, and I just knew that I knew, because I'm not that clever to just be thinking things that are outside of my knowing or my scope. So it's like I know that it's Holy Spirit.
Right.
Yeah.
So how long did it take for you to realize that that inner voice was the Holy Spirit for you?
Well, I didn't know anything, and I think Holy Spirit's been speaking to us forever. But we just didn't know it was Holy Spirit. Mm. And looking back, it was like even from my childhood days, it was Holy Spirit speaking to me, but I had no understanding and no knowledge of Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. So it really wasn't until I met Holy Spirit, the person of Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit wasn't just a thing. Holy Spirit is a person. And I know not probably everybody has an encounter like that, but Holy Spirit, I saw Holy Spirit.
Okay. And was his voice the same? No, I'm putting words into your mouth.
No, well, it was different because I really didn't know the difference between God the Father, mm-hmm. Jesus, and Holy Spirit. And I'm probably, in all honesty, still walking that out.
Yeah, of course.
Like some people say that they know the difference between the Father's voice and Jesus' voice and the Holy Spirit's voice. To me, it's like I just get into the presence. Mm-hmm. I know they're different, but they're the same for me.
Yes, that's right. Same essence.
Yeah.
Exactly. I and the Father are one.
Yeah.
So there's another. I could have keep asking you questions, Murray. I've seen you operate in words and knowledge with people, and there've been some prophetic stuff. And that. How do you sort of position yourself to hear him?
Thank you, Niall.
I've created a habit. Mm-hmm. Whereas in the morning I really try, and I don't do it every day, but I try to every day, is spend time in the Word and spend time in worship and just be in the still listening to Him. Mm-hmm. So and that, if you like, it sets me up for my day.
Yep.
Yeah.
So after you've done that,
yep.
I'm just going to ask you a question. Is it more likely that He'll reveal something to you or speak to you or prompt you about something when you've set yourself up like that for the day? Is it more likely He'll do that, or is it?
Yeah, it is more likely, but it's like Nawa said, you know, he's talking to me all the time, and it's for me to decipher what is me and what is Him. And one of the things I've probably realised is that my imagination is like a farmland, and that's where I see the fruit, if you like. I hear and I see, and I'm probably quite vision. I see things.
So you see things.
I see things. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Like an example, this morning I saw a picture of somebody which was potentially walking into something coming from behind him, and he had nowhere to go in front. And it took me back to the Word. It took me back to Moses at the Red Sea, and I conveyed to that person that that God was going to open a way, is going to go through on dry land, but on the other side of it there was actually fruit. So I saw that. It wasn't something which I heard a voice. I actually saw the picture of that passing through.
Okay.
Yeah.
So why didn't you do anything with it?
I did.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I did.
Sorry, mate. Sorry. Excellent. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, Murray.
But I also... different ways of delivering it. I think we've got to hear the way that God wants us to deliver it.
That's another whole topic in itself. How do you actually deliver things in a way that's receivable by people? Yeah, excellent. Thank you, Murray. Colleen, come over this way, guys. We're working toward the corner. We're trying to keep it to a few minutes each, and we're doing all right, not too bad. Colleen, similar question. How do you sort of position yourself to?
In desperation.
Well, that's true. Here's another one.
But worship is what brings me into the presence of God and shutting my very busy mind down, because I can have a million thoughts at the same time.
He can.
He says I can. So, and it's like, God, speak to me. please speak to me. And often in a ministry situation, there's people needing to hear what God's saying. Mm. And that's where the absolute desperation comes in. God, I want you to speak so you are going to love these people through me and what's being said and done.
So you get quite definite in asking the Holy Ghost for whatever these people need or things that you can deliver.
Yes, I do. Interestingly, though, you know, you read out all the gifts and we looked at them in Corinthians this morning. Once when people were giving me titles, I went to the Lord and said, God, I don't want any of these. I just want to be a servant. And instantly I saw a row of jackets. Mm-hmm. They were every color of the rainbow and every shade of every color. And I felt like he said to me, have you got all of me? I'm going, yes. Have you got all of Jesus? Yes. Have you got all of the Holy Spirit? Yes. Well, I will put whatever jacket on you that you need at any time so that I will be glorified. I love that. Take it. Yeah. It's for
very
us all.
Good. One of the reasons you've got big suitcases when you go overseas.
I've got one medium-sized suitcase I can't carry anymore.
Very good. No, these are all very interesting. I'm trying to help demystify things for people.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Craig, I've seen you move in prophetic and just you know, you've heard people answer these questions. You don't have to answer that same question. You can have something else you want to speak about. One of the things I'm going to ask you, how do you have a sense that this is the Holy Spirit that's speaking to you, or you're bringing something of the Holy Ghost to a person?
Sometimes it's because it's a persistent thing. So sometimes I don't recognize it initially. Mm-hmm. So if sometimes God has spoken to me about someone and it's taken me a wee, like literally sometimes weeks to realize.
Okay.
That sounds terrible. But no, it can take days or weeks to realize, God's speaking to me about that person. So maybe I'm thick or slow, no. But I haven't necessarily recognized straight away. So that's sometimes what has happened. Mm-hmm. So I don't see things, like I don't look at you and see angels floating around or anything. I'd love to. Mm. If someone can pray for me to make that happen, I'll definitely take that. But I don't hear voices. I don't hear an audible voice. But I guess I get a sense and an impression that over time, I go, that's God trying to speak to me or trying to catch my attention. Mm-hmm. And often I find it's an invitation for me to recognize it. And then if I recognize it, what will I do with it? Mm-hmm. So will I just push in and say, okay, Lord, is there something there you want me to say to that person? Mm. Is there something you want me to pray? There's been times, if I'm really honest, that I've just even forgotten about it. And so sometimes I have tried to write things down in the past and that'll be a good thing to do. But that's really honest.
Yeah, that's right. Well, the honesty is great because at the end of the day, you see, we're all on an individual journey, individual walk, and it's not cookie cutter. The Holy Ghost works with each one of us individually. Some are predominantly leaning toward the seer dimension. Others, it's more what bubbles up. Others, it's more impressions that come. And as Craig said, the journey for him was he would get this thought or this impression and then it would kind of like wouldn't go away or would keep coming back to you. Is that?
Yeah, it's almost like something's caught on the inside. I don't know how to describe it. So there might be a person, like there might be someone over here. Mm-hmm. And every time you see them, you're kind of like, there's something that I've got to push into here. Or you might have a sense there's something happening in their world and it's something that you wouldn't otherwise know. Like, how would I know that? Mm-hmm. That's really weird. So that's when it's like, maybe my imagination's just going... Maybe I'm imagining things, but if you just trust, I suppose, and risk, okay, Lord, if that's you, I'll push into that. Mm. And then eventually I'll go and talk to them. Or it might be a sense you've got to say it publicly or whatever it is. Mm. And then sometimes it's completely different if you're just like in a prayer line situation or whatever and you're just standing in front of people. Mm. Sometimes it's like, well, there it is, I've just got to pray it. Mm. And you don't have time to develop it because you don't have time.
It's got to be in the moment.
Yeah. Mm. So I guess there's two dimensions. The instant when you're like in a cell group or whatever and you've got to pray, you know, you're praying for people and you just get that. So I sense the Lord is saying, or you know, and there might be a sort of an image or something in my mind, but I don't ever see things. So if you think that people see things all the time, that's a gift that not everyone has. I don't know. I don't know if you can push into that. You can probably ask for it.
Well, you're asked to pursue and to covet. So just go for whatever. Yeah. You know, you're allowed to.
Yeah.
You're allowed to. Yeah. Awesome. That's good, Craig. Hey, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Hey, give those people a there's a, you know, each one of them, obviously, each one of them we could have got a lot more out of in terms of more questions, but I just wanted to get those because some people, the main question that some people have is, where do I begin? And I'll tell you where I began. I began because my pastor came up to me and said to me, Wes, you've got a song, you've got to sing it. And I knew that I did because I felt this funny feeling inside rising. It was in the worship, it was in Cromwell, I was very young in the Lord. And I had this funny feeling inside and I had these warm words starting to come into my mind, but I had no idea what to do with it. So I so praised God for Fergus McIntyre. He just came up and said, Wes, you've got a song, you just bring it. So that was how it started for me. And then I launched out and sang it, and my knees were knocking like nothing else. And at the end of it, I was shaking like this, and I had to hang on to a chair. And looking back on it, I don't know whether that was just the sheer nerves of it or whether that was something of the Holy Ghost on that, because a number of people came to me and said how much it meant to them, how much it ministered to them. So that was really nice to get that encouragement. So for me in the earlier days, there would be these thoughts come, and then there would be this feeling rise. It would rise from here. And when I got that feeling, I knew, I think I'm meant to bring this. I think I'm meant to bring this. And I got to the point where if I didn't, I knew I'd be disobedient. So I always had a choice to make, and it was always a bit of a step of faith, always a bit of taking a bit of risk, but you just did it because you recognized the sensation. Now, that's how it was for me. Other people, entirely different. So I hope you've gotten a wee bit of something out of that, or at least it's demystified it slightly. But the thing is, if you've got a bit of a hearing challenge, one of the best things to do, and you'll see me do it, you'll go like this. Because that means you really, if Janet's talking and there's a bit of background hum going on, I do this, I really want to hear her. Because she's got something important to say or something I need to hear. And so I do that. Well, it's the same attitude with the Holy Spirit. Same attitude with the Holy Spirit. He's always with you. He's always present with you. And there's what I do. I just, in my heart, I just see myself leaning in. Holy Spirit, I want to hear you. What do you need to tell me? What do I need to know? What do you need? Have you got something for somebody? Have you got something? And you just lean in, and you can do that absolutely anywhere. And lean in, and then give them time to speak. Might be a thought, might be impression, whatever. And then ask, okay, how do I do that? So this morning there's somebody's mother, just somebody's mother, and I'm going to deliver this now. Somebody's mother. There's concern. I said, Lord, what is it? What is it they're concerned? What's the concern? A brain bleed or an aneurysm type thing or a brain bleed. There's somebody here that's really concerned about your mother. She's had some sort of brain injury, brain bleed, aneurysm type thing. Is there anybody here? Because we can pray for her now in proxy. Is there anybody here that's situation? Your mother. It's your mother. Anybody? Anybody got a mother? Anybody? Anybody going once? Going twice? Your mother's going to miss out. Going once? Going twice? Well, there you go. I gave it a go. I stepped out on it. I mean, there may be somebody online, so we will pray. There could be somebody online. But you have to make up your mind whether you're going to step out or not. And if there's nobody there in that situation at that time, there's three possibilities. One, didn't get it right. Number two, they're there, but they didn't have enough courage to respond or didn't feel to respond. Number three, in this situation, it could be somebody online. They are the three options. At the end of the day, hello, Mayon, have you got your mother's not around anymore.
My children is like that.
I beg your pardon?
I think I am that mother.
Oh, you are the mother.
And I think my daughter has that very fear.
No. Your daughter has that?
For me.
Yes. For you. So she's concerned
she's
about you.
The one that you're speaking about.
Okay, should we pray for you now?
Bless you, yes.
So you are the mother.
Yeah.
You think your daughter is concerned about you.
Very.
And an issue with your brain.
Yeah.
Okay, let's stand. That's quite different. Thank you, Mayon. Stretch out your hands toward Mayon right now. Father, we just thank you right now for Mayon. We thank you for her brain. We thank you for every blood vessel, every capillary, every vein, every artery. And in the name of Jesus, thank you, Father, right now for your anointing, your healing and sealing up anything that's vulnerable, anything that's vulnerable to a bleed. We just pray right now that it be strengthened, that every vein, capillary, artery, every blood vessel would be strengthened now. Any weak points that are vulnerable, let them be strengthened by your power, by the Holy Ghost right now. In Jesus' name and for Carden, we just ask for a settling of her heart. We ask for a settling of Carden's heart in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. We just thank you for your love right now. Just bless her in Jesus' name. Just all over her head. Yeah. Don't want to mess up your hair. Just touch on your hair.
I haven't got good hair, though, so you go for it.
Father, just right now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you for responding, ma'am. Thank you. Right. Okay, let's all stand. So all of the gifts are for today. If there's anybody here who's still wondering about whether they're for today, that doctrine came out of Augustine's very early writings. They used that to justify a position of cessationism. But Augustine in his later years, Augustine of Hippo, one of the great bishops many, way, way back, in his latter writings, it's very evident that he believed in the gifts of the Spirit and healing and deliverance, because he reported miracles in his under his bishopric, is the word, under his bishop's oversight. So they've taken early writings and used that to justify the position that the gifts of the Spirit are no longer operational for today. That is a terrible misunderstanding. And if you've come out of that background, we come out of that doctrinal background, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I release you from that stronghold of unbelief, that doctrine of unbelief that has sat in the back of your mind and tried to fight with your faith. It's tried to contend with your ability to go after the things of the Spirit as the apostle wrote. And that was for every generation of the church. So Father, in the name of Jesus right now, if that's you right now, I break that stronghold and I release you from it in Jesus' name, to enter into the revelation of the Holy Ghost, to bring to you the understanding that these things are as much for today as they've ever been in any age. In fact, I would say even more so. Father, in Jesus' name, just pray with me if you would. Father, today I position myself as your child, because that's who I am. And I make a decision to go after the things of the Spirit that I am encouraged to pursue love and earnestly desire the best gifts or the highest gifts, in fact all of the gifts. In Jesus' name, stir me, help me, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Next Sunday, we may just do some more releasing. And also next Sunday, I think we're going to deal with the blockage in the realm of dreams and the realm of visions. Because there are blockages that people are affected by. And I want to see that released, because dreams are one of the very powerful ways God speaks to us. Visions are one of the very powerful ways of God speaks to us. When people say, "I do not dream," I think there's actually something else going on there for them. Something being shut down. Because I believe everybody dreams, actually. Anyway, there we are. God bless you. I just release you now, just with the favor of the Lord and the the beauty of his countenance and the glory of his presence. Father, I just release your people in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Have an awesome life.